Most children, over the course of their religious education, will eventually ask their parents whether the stories in the Bible are true. And hopefully, with the proper guidance and lived experience, our children come to discover what we have come to know, that only stories can convey a truth so true. It can only be told through a story. And that is because, unlike a statement of fact, a story has the unique ability to let us step into an event, move around within it, and make it our own. Therefore, a story can be both healing and liberating. And that is what today's story does. It heals and liberates. In the beloved story of the man born blind, John gives us a story of how one is brought from physical blindness to sight and from spiritual blindness to spiritual insight. This is a story about the revelation of God, but it is also a story about sin. And because of that, this is also a story that sheds some light on a very difficult question, which is this: how do we explain sickness and suffering in the world? Jesus and his disciples coming upon the man born blind becomes an occasion for his disciples to ask him about the connection between physical sickness and sin. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? A strange statement, especially to our modern sensibilities, because it reveals an ancient belief that sickness and suffering was the result of or the punishment for sin. Now, most of us would believe that we are above such thinking, that we have developed a more enlightened understanding of sickness and suffering. But when sickness and suffering enters our lives, how often have we caught ourselves saying, "Why is this happening to me?" Or, "What have I done to deserve this?" But in a new way, Jesus shifts the focus away from the cause of the man's blindness to the purpose that it can serve. Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be visible through him." Wow. I find this to be the most paradoxical statement in Scripture. Essentially, what Jesus is saying is that sickness and suffering is not the revelation of sin, but rather sickness and suffering is a revelation of God. What Jesus is saying is that to look into the face of sickness and suffering is to look into the face of God. And that, my friends, is a statement of faith only you can make. No one can teach it to you, no one can prove it to you, and no one can do it for you. Only you can come to such a conclusion by going on a faith journey to experience it for yourself and to know that it is true. But for the rest of us who have not yet experienced it, what language can we use to help us see sickness and suffering as a revelation of God? In my experience, when we're confronted with someone with severe suffering and sickness, we're scandalized, if we're honest, because everything in our being says that it shouldn't be that way. We want to change it, but we can't, and it frustrates us. The only thing that we can do is to draw away in fear and sometimes feel anger and disappointment in God. Somehow the sick and the suffering and the disabled remind us who we really are. And it's part of our human nature to push away sickness and suffering because those things represent everything we deny about ourselves. But what sets us apart as Christians is that we are a people of faith because in spite of ourselves, in spite of our weaknesses, our fears, anger, and our disappointments, we keep bringing the contradictions of life to this mystery we call the Eucharist, where we bring our joys and our sorrows, our blessings and our burdens. And we pray that God transforms the contradictions of the world where it is difficult to see God. Where is God in the cries of starving children? Where is God in the mother who is diagnosed with cancer? Where is God in the innocent victims of senseless acts of violence? And only by faith and by God's good grace do we make the connection that has been hidden in plain sight all along, posed in the question, where is God in this man who suffered and died on a cross? The resurrection, my friends, is all the proof we will ever need to know that invincibility only comes through vulnerability, and that real power only comes through powerlessness, that the power of death was defeated forevermore by one vulnerable act of powerlessness. Now, I have many well-meaning friends of other religious traditions who like to inform me that we Catholics dwell too much on the suffering and death of Christ. And I think back to all the Lenten Passion plays, the Stations of the Cross, Veneration of the Cross, and many movies about the Passion of the Christ. But in spite of all that, the Church teaches us that the cross without the Passion, the resurrection without the suffering, is to deny ourselves the whole story. But more importantly, the cross without the Passion is to deny us the whole truth. And the whole truth is that the Passion, death, and resurrection, what we call the Paschal Mystery, is the whole story. We embrace the whole Paschal Mystery as one seamless truth. We don't avoid the suffering in favor of the resurrection. We do not downplay what is most difficult about life because the truth must be honest. And a religion is honest when it teaches us how to suffer, when it teaches us how to die in order to truly live. The truth is, Jesus never intended us to solve the mystery of sickness and suffering. That was never our burden to carry. Jesus just says, bring your pain to me. Bring your suffering to me. Let me transform your pain. God is saying, what you reject, I will resurrect. What you throw down, I will raise up. What you destroy, I will transform. Therefore, to live out the Paschal mystery is to live an authentic Christian life. It is to believe that Christ is living in all things, dying in all things, and rising in all things. It is not to be isolated in our individual sin, but rather to be in solidarity with the whole human condition in all its brokenness and vulnerability. It is to know that only in our vulnerability that we are closest to our humanity. God revealed that in Jesus. To be fully vulnerable is to be fully human. We would do well next time when we meet a person in severe sickness, suffering, or disability to look for the presence of God in that person and measure our humanity against theirs. Like the man born blind, the question is often raised, why some people are born into a disabled existence? And we ask, where is God in this? It is a tough question, and many of my attempts to provide an answer have always proved inadequate. But I have come to believe my inadequacy came from a lack of vision or a lack of perspective. I found a vision, though, from an interview of a woman who cared for her disabled younger half-brother, with whom she had worked for nearly 30 years in a state hospital. The question put to her was how she made sense of suffering in the world. This was her response. She said, if there ever was a pure, sinless human soul, it is my brother. Why did he have to live a life like this? I said to myself, I've got to reconcile this if I'm going to believe in a good God, in a kind God. And so I pondered and struggled with it and came out of it more or less this way, that human life is but a moment in eternity. She said, I think there were two courses in college that meant more to me philosophically than any other two. One was astronomy, because you get a vista of the cosmos. Your perspective opens out to an absolutely incredible degree. And the other was anthropology, where you get some idea of the development of the human being on this planet Earth. Both classes, she says, were exercises in perspective. So I decided, she said, that a human being's life is but a moment in eternity. To use a figure of speech about the caterpillar, in the cocoon stage and the butterfly stage, it is a very telling figure when you put that together with our life on earth as a moment in eternity. Maybe this is my brother's moment in the cocoon, she said. I have had a sense that I should somewhere, someday, along the pathways of God, meet my brother when he comes into his own, and he comes to me with rushing wings. I can't help but feel that all the suffering of all these people, all the people who are starving to death, oppressed, born crippled, that their time will come. In eternity, we are all but a moment in time. Many of us in our sickness and suffering have yet to come into our own. And for those who have, God calls us to nurture those who have not yet arrived.